for the 27th Psalm, a psalm of assurance, confidence, trust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says. Seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Last fall, a new biography of Winston Churchill was published, titled "Churchill Walking with Destiny" by Andrew Roberts. As the son of two Irish immigrants, I wasn't necessarily raised with a great fondness for Churchill. But the reviews for this book were so rapturous that as a fan of biography, I felt I needed to read it. It's very hard to describe him in anything but superlatives, even negative ones. But he certainly was one of the most brilliant political leaders of the 20th century. He had a well-honed gift for public communication. Among the many topics that he studied and wrote about was rhetoric. He gave advice on how to give a speech. Churchill understood the power of public speaking. His adversaries would actually rush to Commons when he was scheduled to speak because even in opposition, he was always entertaining. I thought of Sir Winston as I read Psalm 27. Sometimes a single word or phrase catches your eye when reading scripture. And in this case, the phrase, "Teach me your way, O Lord," reminded me of something about Churchill. He was a voracious reader who essentially considered himself self-taught in all important areas. And he said that he loved learning, but hated to be taught. He loved learning, but hated to be taught. I guess he believed that no one, probably including the Lord, had anything to teach him. That got me thinking about the nature of our relationship to God. Teach me your way, O Lord. When we ask someone to teach us something, it requires recognition on our part that the teacher knows more than we do. And that's a humbling experience. It also requires trust in the teacher. Psalm 27 is a psalm of trusting faith. Sometimes we view doubt as the opposite of faith, but the psalmist here contrasts faith with fear, not doubt. The trust, the faith that the psalmist has in the Lord casts out fear. Fear is seen as the manifestation of the absence of faith. We seem to be living in a time in which fear and anxiety have become the basis for a great deal of political and social discourse. I was watching an interview with someone who was being asked to explain the motivation of the shooter in Christchurch. Fear was the given answer. Fear of losing whatever it is that we think we have, fear of losing our place in the world, fear of others who are getting what should be ours, others who are taking everything away from us. Fear, stoked by the false rhetoric of leaders and nurtured by a group celebrating hatred as their child of fear. The psalmist is describing some very real existential threats. Let me share with you the way Eugene Peterson's translation describes the threats. When vandal hordes ride down ready to eat me alive, those bullies and toughs fall flat on their faces. When besieged, I am as calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I am collected and cool. The psalmist recognizes real external dangers and responds to those dangers with faithful trust, not fear. What supports the psalmist's calm trust and great sense of faith? Well, it's sort of hidden in the psalm, but it's the congregation that supports the psalmist. The trust that the psalmist has is nurtured in the worshiping community. The congregation is where the psalmist wants to be. That's where we can contemplate the beauty of the Lord and ask the Lord to teach us. Even when we're surrounded by our enemies, we will continue to offer shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Being with other faithful who are seeking the presence of the Lord is the place where our trust is nurtured. Now, some of you may say that the psalmist is in denial, hiding from the threats, maybe hoping they will just go away, but that's not what this psalm says. The psalm continues to recognize the threats, but says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." If you're my age, the image that may come to your mind is the churches filled with civil rights workers who gathered in the evenings to praise and glorify God the night before they were going out to face dangerous mobs and vicious dogs. That has to lead you ultimately to Dr. King's final sermon that almost seemed to predict his imminent death. But he closed that speech with these words that echoes to me the words of this psalm. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The psalmist says, now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. It would be a lie to say that we never fall victim to fear. Hopefully, we never translate those fears into the kinds of vicious hatred that marks too many events in our country and the world. The murders at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, the murders at Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, the murders at Masjid al-Nur and Linwood Masjid in Christ Church. We have truly walked away from God when our fear is translated into hate. More likely, when we suffer from fear, we tend to translate that fear into immobility and silence. We don't want to incite trouble against each one of us. Churchill responded to threats with a sense of personal autonomy. He felt free to take on anything by himself. His trust was only in his own abilities. And history has shown us that trusting in ourselves alone has significant limitations. On this St. Patrick's Day, there's a lesson from Ireland on that topic. Some of my Irish sisters and brothers turned that notion into a political slogan and contributed to the long history of violence and death. Sinn Féin can literally be translated as we ourselves. And Sinn Féin Avan, ourselves alone. Of all the insanity of the Troubles, perhaps none was greater than the bombing in Omagh in August of 1998 that killed 31 people and wounded over 300 by mistake. The car bomb was supposed to be parked in front of the courthouse, but they couldn't find a parking space. So they left it in front of a busy market area and set off the bomb. Fear and hatred and self-reliance make up a prescription for human disaster. By the way, in case you're wondering about any connection between Churchill and Ireland, in 1921, he was the chairman of the Cabinet Commission on Irish Affairs, which was charged with negotiating a peace with the Irish. There had been 5 years of fighting that began with the so-called Easter Rising in 1916 and carried through the so-called War of Independence from 1919. But Churchill's intransigence eventually led to a continuation of that war, as well as civil war within Ireland, until December of 1937. No, the psalmist is not talking about ourselves alone. The psalmist isn't talking about self-reliance. The psalmist offers an alternative to both fear and trusting only in ourselves. He says, trust, teach me your way, O Lord. There was something else that reading those words in this psalm brought to my mind. In the opening words of Luke 11, one of the disciples says to Jesus, Lord, teach us. You remember the instance? He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John has taught his disciples. I know that you've been using variant translations and interpretations of the Lord's Prayer in your worship, and I applaud you for seeking to better understand that prayer. The Matthew version is the one most often utilized, but let me share with you the Message interpretation of the Luke version. Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. I wonder if the first words of that prayer are words that we almost never actually say. I believe that the first words of the Lord's Prayer, the words that establish the proper mindset for the prayer, are still, Lord, teach us. The psalmist says, teach me your way, O Lord. Psalm 27 reflects trust and faith in the Lord. It also reflects humility and a desire to continually learn the ways of the Lord. It's a rejection of self-reliance. And throughout the psalm, the writer returns to the temple, the place of the assembly of God's people, the congregation, you, in order to join with others, with one another, in joyful praise and worship of the Lord. The psalm opens with a strong affirmation and a rhetorical question. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, so why should I fear anything? No matter what comes, including genuine danger to my life, I will remain confident in the Lord. And it closes then with still another affirmation and a word of advice for you and me. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Our faith is not in ourselves or in any human institutions. Our faith is only in the Lord. Lord, teach us.